Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. On today's show, we're going to talk about a big win for this region's tourism sector called Hooplandia. But first, we have this important message from our sponsor, People's Bank.
Thank you for listening to the Business Talk podcast, sponsored by People's Bank, bringing you the best in business experts, entrepreneurs, and evangelists. Make Business Talk your innovation break for ideas and inspiration. People's Bank, where commercial banking can fuel your growth and make work life easier. Member FDIC, DIF Equal Housing Lender. Bank at peoples.com/business.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, we have a great show for you today. Our guests are Gene Cassidy, President and CEO of the Eastern States Exposition, and John DeLiva, President and CEO of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Welcome to you both. I'm happy to have you here on Business Talk.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be with you.
We'll just dive right into it. We've all heard a lot about Hooplandia, what's being billed as the premier three-day, three-on-three basketball tournament for competitors of all ages and skill levels, and it's set to tip off on June 23rd. We'll talk about how this came to Springfield and West Springfield in a bit. But first, give us some details of the event itself. How many teams are involved? What can participants and competitors expect?
Well, as you can imagine, Joe, at the Eastern States, we're used to doing things in large scale. You know, we're the fourth largest fair in North America, one of the biggest public events really that happens in the world. So we've built out Hooplandia to handle a lot of volume. In year one, it's a startup company, really, right? We're just it's like anything else, first time out of the box. So as we are preparing now, with 3 weeks left to go before the event takes place, we've got about 350 teams registered. We've promoted to a lot of the sports facilities and boys and girls clubs, and we expect, I'm hopeful that we'll have probably 500 teams register by the time we open on June 23rd. And, but the growth potential is really unlimited. In Spokane, where we found this sort of by mistake, they've been doing it for 33 years. They've got 7,000 teams. And we're prepared at the Eastern States to beat them. So, we've got a commitment to focus on basketball and raise interest in the Hall of Fame and the sport, and take advantage of the tremendous assets that we have relating to basketball right here in Springfield, Mass.
Yeah, I think Gene's being modest. He's got a wonderful facility. Obviously, the Big E, we know all about what the Eastern States Exposition does throughout the year, but to hold three on threes, he's got all the infrastructure that you would ever need. If you can imagine, there used to be a smaller three-on-three in downtown Springfield. You used to have to close the streets. The police and fire department would have to be involved. The bus company would have to sign off on it, emergency services. Gene's got a wonderful infrastructure over there that has all the parking, all the space, all the restroom facilities, all of the food service facilities. I mean, I think he's right that we're at the beginning stages of this. I think startup is a really good analogy. And to get to, Spokane, which has 7,000 teams, it's taken 35 years for them to get there. And I think we're in a really good position to launch this. I think having the number of teams that Gene's talking about and getting some momentum here is very important. This first year, the second year is going to be very important to position this tournament as a premier tournament for the future. And I really appreciate the investment of the Big E, which has made a significant financial investment. The city of West Springfield has made a significant investment. Hall of Fame is on board. We love being a part of it, but these guys have really taken the lead on this and really have the vision for this. So I congratulate them on pursuing this.
There'll be games at the Hall of Fame too, as well. Is that correct?
There will be some championship games, yes, on Sunday, June 25th. That's part of the play-in, and part of the allure of this is that you play as hard as you can at the Big East site, and you earn your right to play a championship game here on center court. So that's kind of the reward to be able to play on the Jerry Colangelo Court of Dreams.
I just got the, I got the shivers just hearing that myself. You know, that's that literally, I can feel the chill still in my frame.
You know, as I mentioned before, the path to bringing this event here is kind of a winding one. It started well before the pandemic, and I believe the idea was born in 2019 on the trip to Spokane. Just tell me about how things were ramping up in the spring of 2020 when things got shut down. Go back to the beginning, and how did the idea for the event come about? And tell me about that first sort of aborted year.
Well, interestingly, I was at a fair managers meeting in Spokane, Washington, you know, going back in 2014. And we were driving, myself and John Giuliano were driving on the highway, which happens to be Interstate 90, you know, goes from Boston to Seattle, right?
That's right down the street.
And I saw an enormous highway sign that introduced Spokane, Washington as Hooptown, USA. And, you know, we looked at each other in the car and I'm like shaking my head. Like, how in the world does this region, or this city, get that moniker? And, you know, they're on the right street, but that's the wrong end of the country, right? So that's how that was the genesis of how the idea. And I did a lot of calling around, trying to see if we could figure something out. And so it was many years in the making. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, to 2019, we, you know, John, you know, really embraced the idea at the Hall of Fame, and we had a press conference over at the Basketball Hall of Fame. It was some great coverage. You guys gave us some great coverage on it, but then COVID just, you know, put the brakes on everything, and so we lost a lot of traction. Obviously, some time. Then 2020 came, and then there was the rebound of COVID, and so we had another, you know, we were harpooned a couple of times. So, you know, now by now, you know, we've put that in our rearview mirror, and we're here and we're ready to go. There's been a lot of excitement. There's been a tremendous amount of really meaningful community support. John mentioned the city of West Springfield has been extraordinarily supportive. The Mayor Sarno, you know, the two mayors, you couldn't ask for two better future thinking entrepreneurial mayors. Between Mayor Reichelt and Mayor Sarno, and the Sports Commission has been wonderfully supportive, and getting buy-in from those folks obviously is very key. You know, we all need a little affirmation. You know, you try to think entrepreneurially and productively as a means by which to cause a rising tide for the economy here of Greater Springfield. And knowing that you've got folks like that behind you and supporting you and your efforts is key to success. So we've had Ford Motor Company step in. The Dunkin' Donuts is a big sponsor. It kind of goes nicely with basketball. And Bay State Medical Center, you know, this is about health and wellness, and Bay State Medical has been tremendously supportive. So getting the community to buy in is really important. And in the end, you know, what we're going to have is we're going to have a signature event for Greater Springfield that's going to generate business for a lot of people, a lot of regional businesses, you know, not the least of which will be hotels and restaurants, but it's going to raise awareness about basketball. And, you know, personally, my goal is really to drive interest in the Shrine. I mean, it happens that I have an uncle who's enshrined there, and I want more people to go see him.
I was going to mention some of the sponsors that you mentioned, Duncan, the Bay State Health, Ford Dealers, Boys and Girls Clubs is on as a philanthropic sponsor. John, what does it tell you about the response you're getting from these supporters, these kind of big name supporters?
Well, I think it's awesome. I think people are taking a look at the big picture about what the opportunity could be. We've got some great baseline sponsors here that really have stepped up to a concept, and they're seeing the fruition and delivery of this at this point. I think, you know, as we go through this first year with the success that we're looking at, and again, it's a first year effort, it's a rookie year, we're looking to expand upon those. And so we're looking to deliver for these sponsors that we have now. We're looking to expand upon that. We'll have potential sponsors visiting the Big East side, and certainly a championship day here on Sunday. You know, Gene's right. The opportunity here is to grow the business for restaurants and hotel and gas stations and all of the different tourism facilities that both he and I kind of base our business on. We're tourism based, we're hospitality based organizations. And really, when you get right down to it, this is going to be the finest hospitality for basketball. And that's what we want to create. We want to create a great place to come every year, put it on your target list that you will come to Springfield, West Springfield, and take part in a great 3-on-3. And look at Spokane, Washington is way on the West Coast, right? And there's nothing in the middle of the country. There's nothing on the eastern half of the country. So there is such a great opportunity here. And when you overlay the fact that the Basketball Hall of Fame is right next door, that's really our point of differentiation to Spokane, is that we're really now a little bit higher on the target list because there's the benefit of linking to the Basketball Hall of Fame and our ability as a group to run great tournaments. So, you know, the sponsors are terrific. They will grow. We will make sure that sponsors are very happy with what they've committed to and what they get out of this event.
Now, I was going to ask about this a little later, but talking about the economic impact, is there an expectation for a certain financial multiplier from this event, or is it just kind of an overall impact on the tourism and hospitality sector and all the businesses that support that?
Well, you know, Joe, it's a really good question. I mean, we've been producing Eastern States Exposition, has been producing the Big E for 109 years. The impact of the Big E on our region is approaching $750 million. It's taken a long time to get there, but it's enormous. It's probably one of the top 10 generators in our region, behind, you know, the hospital or the University of Massachusetts. You know, I'd be ill-advised to try to put a number on it in year one, but. You know, the Eastern States is a long-term legacy organization, and the board of directors at the Eastern States has empowered me to champion this effort, and we're in it for the long term. So we're going to build something that our region can stand proudly on, and it will have a material impact on our economy, to be sure.
Yeah, I remember back before I worked here at the Hall of Fame, I worked at Spalding Sporting Goods, and I remember the advent of Hoop It Up, which was the original serious 3-on-3 back in the early 80s. And you know, the first few years, it was investment spending, if you will, to build up what it turned out to be was a tremendous property that was eventually sold several times to different promoters. So. You know, it does take a little bit of time. I think the economic impact really should be looked at. Again, this is the rookie year. After 2 or 3 years, I think really it is when you'll see that delivery. But the job right now is to get the teams here, produce a great event, and get people to commit to coming back. And also, as I said earlier, introduce these sponsors and basically new sponsors to the opportunity to connect with these players, because this is a really interesting demographic, right? Everybody wants to chase that younger demographic. And here's a place to activate them in a wonderful atmosphere at the Big E around basketball. So I think we've got all the right elements here to create a real strong property.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. We're talking today with John DeLiva, President and CEO of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, and Gene Cassidy, President and CEO of the Eastern States Exposition. Talk about a little bit about the inclusivity of this event. It seems like there's categories of competition for almost anyone.
Yeah, we've tried to make it, you know, user friendly. So I joke, I say, you know, there's going to be, you know, different categories of players, including, you know, old fat guys like myself. And so it goes across the board. It's about interest, driving interest and being inclusive and giving folks an opportunity to have a little competition, right? So there's a lot of basketball played, and you know, so that I think it's important. So we'll have first responders, we'll have special Olympians, you know, we've also identified the Boys and Girls Clubs as a philanthropic partner. So $10 from every registration will go to a Boys and Girls Club closest to that registration zip code.
Nice.
You know, that'll provide some, you know, hopefully permanent funding on a material scale for them. So You know, we've and People's Bank is another one of our sponsors here too. So I heard you mention them too. So we know we've tried to paint with a very broad brush to include as many everybody, not just as many people, everybody.
Yeah, and these sponsors have offered as part of their sponsorship package to recruit teams from the community. So I look at the Springfield Ballers and you know, some of the different organizations that are actually scholarshiped in to be able to be included in this. They might not be able to afford to put teams forward, and these sponsors have stepped up to be a part of that. So it really is reaching deep into the community, and you talk about inclusivity. So much like when Dr. Naismith invented the game, it was for men, it was for women, it was for people of all ages. And so it's very important that, you know, this obviously is a tournament that embraces everyone that loves basketball at all age groups and all skill levels.
Are you drawing teams from outside the region? And as we go forward to the next years, do you feel like it'll expand the range of folks that want to come here and compete?
Yes. As a matter of fact, some of our earliest registrations were from far away. So we've got a couple from New Jersey, Maryland, you know, the Eastern states, you know, market, of course, is really Western Massachusetts and the entire state of Connecticut. So we've got a lot of Connecticut players, and you know, Connecticut obviously is a big basketball state. They've got a lot to be proud of. So you know, it's starting you know, with a pretty broad footprint already, and I expect that to grow as well.
So Joe, this is kind of a concentric circle kind of game here. So in year one, year two, I mean, things are going to grow and go further along. I think what's interesting about Spokane, it's been 35 years, granted. 48 states. They draw from all 48 states consistently.
Wow.
They have international teams. So I think that, again, we've kind of beaten this to death, but in year one and two, that concentric circle and having, you know, B-roll to show and to recruit teams and to share and through social media, all those kind of things that build as we go further and further out. So I think Gene's right. We'll go beyond New England this year, and we'll go beyond that to the Philadelphia and down to the Washington, D.C. area. And if we're able to accomplish that, then we really are on a kind of a national march with this by year 3 to 5.
That's exciting. We've got a few minutes left. I'd like to step beyond Hooplandia for a moment. You're both heavily invested in the health of the tourism economy in the region. How do you think things are rebounding following the what was, I guess, a crushing 2020 and is still a difficult 2021? What did you hear last year from some of the players? What are your own destinations experience, and what are people saying this year?
Both John and I am currently the chairman of the Greater Springfield Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I am a successor to John, who's also served as chairman just a few years ago. And John had it really tough because you were right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So why don't you start, John? Because you were really in the doldrums. The marketplace was all locked out.
Yeah, don't blame me for COVID. But, no, I was the chair during the we had some great plans, and then COVID hit. And of course, everybody hunkered down. And in various ways, the different organizations in the Convention and Visitor Bureau membership and just tourism in general have come back in varying ways. But I think generally what we're finding is that people want to do stuff. I mean, people want to get out. They want to do stuff. We at the Hall of Fame had just coincidentally had just finished a capital campaign and had invested $25 million in the museum, which we completed during COVID. It kind of gave us the opportunity to close the museum, forced closure, and work on our new facility. And we unveiled that in May of 2021. And I'll tell you, we're up 65% over pre-COVID 2019 numbers.
That's fantastic.
And so the investment in the museum and the fact that, you know, this whole social media craze, I watch people walk into our museum and they literally, before they buy their tickets, they've got their phone up like this and they're taking photographs. And I know they're sending it to their friends saying, ha ha, I'm here, you're not. And that's driving interest in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's happening with a lot of the different attractions around here. I just find that people want to do things. They want to be out and they want to have fun. They want to be with their family. And I know the Hall of Fame is benefiting from that. And I think we saw from last year's Big E's attendance wise, that's also happening with Eugene.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, you know, to credit you, John, and your team, I've been going to the Hall of Fame since it was on the campus at Springfield College. And the investment that was most recently made under your stewardship really is magnificent. I mean, it's an amazing experience. And it gives people something really to celebrate, especially those of us who live here, right? So, you know, we are, you know, focused on tourism, especially our involvement with the Convention Bureau. But, you know, a lot of our business is should be in our backyard. And the pride, I know I feel a tremendous sense of pride when I'm down at the Hall of Fame, even when I'm proximate to it. If I'm visiting one of the adjacent businesses, I take pride in that address, to be sure. You know, as John mentioned, our attendance was up significantly last year. I think people are looking for high quality things to do. Sure. You know, when you're visiting the Shrine or you're visiting the Eastern States Exposition, you're here and you're involved in something that's very wholesome, right? Americana, the American way of life. You know, we have families. John entertains families and family groups, school groups. Same thing at the Eastern States Exposition. It's wholesome, it's meaningful, it's important. And, you know, in this day and age when there's so much shallow and there's so much stress, the organizations that we represent are that which really is the best of the best in our country.
Yeah, multi-generational too, Gene. I think both our organizations, you know, I walk around our museum and I see some, you know, three generations, sometimes four generations of people that are enjoying it together. So I think it's a really good point is that, you know, we don't have a singular demographic, but we cut a wide swath. And it's an enjoyable place to spend time with, you know, your grandparents as well as your parents and yourself if you're a younger person. I mean, there's relevance for everybody. And I think that's what's really unique about our two organizations is that we do offer that. So I've never thought about it that way, Gene, but that's a great point.
I appreciate those thoughts. It's just it's a great place to live when you think about it sometimes.
Absolutely.
We only have about a minute left, and so I just want to make sure I don't miss anything. Is there anything else that folks should know about Hooplandia in particular? Are you still looking for registrants or volunteers?
Yeah, we're always at the Eastern States. We're always looking for volunteers, to be sure. Most of the people who work here actually are volunteers, whether it's in the Storyton Village Museum area, our agriculture department, and now for Hooplandia. So, yeah, we're looking for volunteers, to be sure, and registration. You know, this is going to be a lot of fun, and I encourage folks to participate, even if as a spectator. It's something to be excited about. And so, visit Hooplandia.com and register a team. You'll have a blast.
Yeah, and I'd like to underline what Gene just said is that you, if you're not playing, but you want to come out to have a good afternoon and see some great basketball, it's free for the public. So come on out, be a part of it, experience it, and we will turn you into a three-on-three team registrant the following year.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of festivities that are collateral to the competition. So people have things to look forward to and something to be excited about.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Thank you, Gene and John, so much for coming on. I appreciate you being here on to talk about some really exciting happenings.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate the time.
And that's the way the ball bounces on this episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West and sponsored by People's Bank. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.